Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" This is a reading from God's word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So our particular denomination, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has this really great way to train theologians. You go to seminary for 2 years, and then on your third year, you go and you serve a congregation for an entire year, and then you go back to seminary to finish your fourth year. And I thought that was a pretty good thing to do, and so we decided that we were going to do what they call the traditional route, because there's an alternative route. And we actually, after 2 years of seminary, we moved here to Tucson to work for a church to plant this congregation. And my wife said, you know, this would have been a lot easier if you'd have done this before we had children. But we had children, so we did this. And we served the congregation here for about a year. And then it was time to go back to seminary. And it was the end of my internship, the end of my vicarage year. It was the summertime. And now there are a lot of things that happen. You got to get ready for leaving this area. Then you got to kind of go to St. Louis and get ready and settle there. And it was just so many things going on. We decided that Jennifer would go early to St. Louis. I would stay here and continue being a part of this congregation for an additional month. And it was a great plan. Now, we had two cars at the time, two minivans. The one was 7 years old and the one was 17 years old. And I said, well, you need to take the newer minivan and go back to St. Louis. We certainly don't want you breaking down. And I'll take the old minivan. I'll stay here. It's great. So Jennifer started driving back to St. Louis, and all was well until on a Saturday afternoon, she's somewhere, I have no idea where, and I get the phone call. She said, I'm broken down. I said, what do you mean by broken down? She said, well, I was driving on I-40, and all of a sudden, there's this big bang, and the engine stopped, and I'm on the side of the road. The kids are out of the car, and they're as far away from the travel lanes as possible, but I am definitely broken down. I said, well, where are you? She says, I have no idea. I said, how could you possibly know where you, I mean, what was the last town that you went through? She said, I don't remember. I think I'm somewhere near Gallup, New Mexico. And I said, well, have you been through Gallup or have you not been through Gallup? And she says, I don't remember. When you drive on these long trips, don't you know where you are? No, okay, well. She said, you need to send me a tow truck. I'm like, how do I send you a tow truck if I have no idea where you are? I said, can you walk down the freeway and find a milepost marker? And she says, nope. Okay, so I look. She's near Gallup, so I call, look around. I find, this was like 13 years ago. I don't remember at what point the internet was, but I do remember that it was a bit of a struggle trying to find a tow truck in Gallup, New Mexico. But I finally found one, and I said, she's somewhere. I think she went through Gallup, so I think she's east of Gallup. So just keep driving, and hopefully you'll see this broken car on the side of the road with a bunch of kids and two rats. So I call her back, and I said, I think the tow truck's on the way. And she says, oh, well, this stop. And she saw us, and she thought that we'd be hot, so she gave us an umbrella. I said, oh, praise God, because this was in the middle of summer. And I said, did you ask her where you are? And she said, yeah, she doesn't know either. But she thinks she just went through Gallup, New Mexico. All right, fine, great. Well, the tow truck is on its way. Call me as soon as he gets there. So I'm waiting with bated breath, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait. Because tow trucks just sitting there waiting to go, right? They have to rouse the guys from somewhere. Anyway, the next phone call I get is from Jennifer, and she said, hey, the tow truck arrived, but when it arrived, it was only a two-seater. I'm like, what do you mean by a two-seater? She said, it was just the front seat. And I'm like, oh. And she said, yeah, we had all cram in the front, and all six of us were in the front seat, and he took us back, and he dropped us off, and now I am at this place that has a service shop in the middle of Gallup, New Mexico. I said, praise God, thank you so much. I said, did you turn it into the service people? Yeah, but they're gone home for the day. I said, oh. I said, is there any other place that we could tow it to? And she said, well, this is the guy that said, he said the place that we need to tow it to, and then he left, and so I'm here, and I'm going to wait, I guess, until they open up on Monday morning. I said, oh, my goodness gracious, why does this happen to me? I said, well, are there any hotels nearby? I mean, she's at the gas station. She said, well, they think there's a hotel across the freeway, and that they think there's a hotel that we can stay at there. Do you know the name of the hotel? No, we can't see it from here. I said, well, how can you get to the hotel? She said, we've got all the luggage because we need to have our luggage. There is a shopping cart. And we think we can put all the luggage in the shopping cart and wheel across across the freeway overpass and get to this hotel. I said, okay, well, call me when you get to the hotel. And here I'm like, Lord, please watch over my children and my family and my wife and the two rats. Has this ever happened to you? I mean, it was like the worst day ever. So I'm waiting and waiting. It seems like it's taking forever. Finally, I get the next phone call. We're at the hotel. Oh, thank you. Praise God. She said, we were getting ready to load this stuff in the shopping cart, and this lady came by, and she saw us, and she said, are you all right? And I said, can you take us across the street to a hotel? So we all loaded in her car, and we went across the overpass, which apparently was a very narrow overpass, and we're now at the hotel. We're checked in. We're just going to have to wait here until Monday morning. I said, okay, well, at least you're safe. And now Monday, we'll find out about the car. It was Saturday. I said, are you going to go to church tomorrow? How are you going to get to church? You have no car. It's okay. I bless you if you don't want to go to church tomorrow. Jennifer's like, I am going to church tomorrow. I will find a way to go to church. She said, I will call around and see if there's a Lutheran church in town. I'm going to find the pastor and I'm going to get to that church. So sure enough, she did, because they had in the hotel these things that I'm sure you've heard of. They're called white pages, all right? She looked up the church, found the name of it, and actually the guy had his home phone number in the white pages, called and said, hey, listen, we're broken down. We want to go to church tomorrow morning. Would you be willing to pick us up so we can go to church? And the pastor said, yeah, my wife can come pick you up. That would be wonderful. So Sunday morning comes, and Jennifer wakes up. She has a headache, a total headache. And she looks at the kids and she says, I'm not going to church. My oldest, Kyrie, says, well, we are. And the pastor's wife showed up and picked up all the children. So we have no idea if this, you know, what's happening. They go to church the next day on Sunday morning. And so the pastor's wife shows up to church with 4 additional children, which was kind of causing a little rumor mill in the church. And they're like, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, this lady, she broke down, but she's a seminary wife and she's got 4 children. And one of the ladies, bless her heart, that was the Beverlyn family, said, well, where are they staying? And they said, well, she's staying in the Best Western across from the mechanic. Miss Beverlyn says, well, that's ridiculous. She's going to be here for at least 3 or 4 days. She can stay at my house. So she came after church, picked up my wife, picked up the kids, picked up the 2 rats, drove her over to her house. And apparently, I've never seen this house, but apparently it was like this beautiful 10-bedroom home on the side of the mountain. The kids were gone off to college. And she said to my wife, she said, listen, I'm going to be going out of town for 3 days, but you can have entire run of this whole entire house. It had a pool table and a ping pong table and Nintendo. I mean, this was better than going to Disneyland for my kids. It was such a wonderful blessing. And we finally found out that the engine was blown. We're going to have to repair everything. And we completely changed our whole summer plans. But we finally got everybody there safe and sound. But we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have done it without incredible hospitality of a lady who gave an umbrella. Another lady who said, I'll take you across the hotel, the bridge to find the hotel. And this other lady that watched over my family for 3 days in this beautiful house. It was a gift to our family. My prayer for this congregation is that we would be a congregation filled with people that shows this kind of hospitality. We're continuing our sermon series called Going the Extra Mile. And the purpose of this series is to just look at hospitality in the Bible because we're about to move into our new facility. And when we do and we start advertising that we are here and we have a facility and people can come worship, we will likely get, as we have all along, gotten strangers. And my prayer is that we will take a look at our own hospitality. 2 weeks ago, we looked at how Jesus served with humility as he washed the feet of the disciples. Last week, Pastor John Yonkers told stories and shared about the incredible hospitality shown to Paul on the island of Malta. And today we're looking at a rather harsh word from Jesus. And it is from our scripture reading this morning from Matthew. And in this passage, Jesus is describing the end of time. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in all of his glory. So that means it's the end of time. It means that we're all dead and Jesus comes. Well, he could come when we're alive. He comes and all every eye will see him and all the dead shall rise. And then what happens? He says in verse 33, and then he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to visit. What do all of these have in common? When Jesus gives us this list, what is the thing that binds them together? It's the fact that in every situation, people gave of themselves, whether it was their time or their food or their clothing or their love, and they shared it with somebody else. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Not just these things, but in all ways, to look at what we've been given, the blessings that he's given us, and share it with the world around us. When I was in the 80s, there was a guy who was a Christian singer. His name was Keith Green. I don't know if you remember him, but he was an incredible singer, incredible keyboard player, and he had this band that he would travel around with. And one of the songs that he sang was called Asleep in the Light. And as he was doing the intro to the song, he would play piano, and then he would talk about this passage from Scripture. And he would say that when the Son of Man comes, he's going to separate the sheep on the left and the right, and the goats, the sheep on the They're going to separate the goats and the sheep. And then he talked about how the sheep and the goats were two different types of people. They look very close. But at the end of the day, he's going to separate them and he's going to look to those who helped. And he said, thank you so much for being my hands and feet. And then he's going to turn to the people, the goats, and he's going to say, for you, you're going to go to everlasting tribulation because you didn't. And Keith Green would say, and the only difference between the sheep and the goats at the last day, according to this passage, was by what they did and what they didn't do. And then he would go into this song. It was called Asleep in the Light. And he would say, do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord, you know it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds a tear. But he cries, he weeps and he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such a sin because he brings people to your door and you turn them away and you smile and you say, God bless you, be at peace, but all heaven weeps because Jesus came to your door and you left him out on the street. It's a very powerful song and it hits hard for people who are trying to follow Jesus because we know that he has blessed us with so much, but then life gets in the way, doesn't it? And we know that there are times when he's called us to love the people around us, but we've got so much else to do and we don't do it. And then you hear a passage like this and it just breaks your heart because you realize that that's what he's called us to do. How many of you have passed by somebody on the street or you've been in a situation at work or at school and you know that God wants you to be involved in that situation and you just can't do it for whatever reason? You say, not today, Lord, not today. In the second century, the followers of Jesus taught that there were two ways in life. One was called the way of light and the other was called the way of darkness. And you were either a follower of Jesus and were in the light, or you were not a follower of Jesus and you lived in the darkness. And what did a follower of Jesus look like? Well, that you would love God and that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And that whatever you wouldn't want have done to you, you would not do that to another person. You would bless those who curse you. You would pray for your enemies. You'd fast for those who persecute you. And you would love those who are around you. That was what the early church taught was the way of life, and it's what Jesus calls us in this passage. And in this list of things that Jesus says that we're supposed to do, there's community, there's a commonality that we each give of ourselves for the sake of the world around us because there's so many hurting people in our world. There are people who struggle with all sorts of things, from little things to really big things. And Jesus calls us to show hospitality as he's shown hospitality to us. What does that look like? Someone comes through our door. What does it mean? It means giving of ourselves, giving of our time. We might be involved in a conversation with somebody that we love very much, that we care for very much. We want to catch up with them, but the stranger comes in. And Jesus calls us to think about what it would be like in that situation. You go to someplace new and nobody says hi to you or nobody talks to you. What does that look like? Jesus calls us to maybe break apart from the things that we're doing and give of ourselves to somebody else. So why do we do this? In verse 40, it's really quite simple. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, just as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. You see that? And Jesus answers, truly, I say to you, when you do anything for the least of my brothers, it's basically like you're doing it to me. It's the same sentiment that's in our theme verse, which says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Any stranger, anytime you show any hospitality to anybody else in this world, I know that you think you're serving that person, but in actuality, you are serving Jesus. That person is Jesus. When you see someone in need, what do you see? You know, you go through all these scenarios in your head when you see somebody on the street. I know that there are homeless people here in the Tucson area, but you drive by and you say, well, that person is homeless. How'd they get there? I'm sure they did something stupid, right? They probably did something and it led to something else and maybe their family kicked them out and they're there because they did something stupid in their life. But when you see them as Jesus, you say, there's Jesus. There's an opportunity to love my Savior right there. Do you see the face of Jesus? You know, we're in a world right now that seems like it's being torn apart and it seemed appropriate to talk about a story about showing the love of Jesus to somebody else. It was in January of 1978. And the nation was having a memorial service for Hubert Humphrey. He was the former vice president of the United States, and people gathered from all over the world to say goodbye to this old friend and colleague. But there was one person who came who was shunned, and he was ignored by everybody else. Nobody would look at him, much less speak to him. And that person was former President Richard Nixon, because not long before, he had gone through the shame and infamy of the Watergate scandal. And this was actually the very first time that Nixon had made a public appearance in Washington since his resignation from the presidency in the summer of 1974. And it was then that a very special thing happened. President Jimmy Carter, who was in the White House at that time, came into the room, and before he was seated, he saw Nixon over against the wall all by himself. And he went over to him as though he were greeting a family member. And he stuck out his hand, and he smiled broadly, and to the surprise of everyone there, the two of them embraced each other. And Mr. Carter said, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." Commenting on that, Newsweek magazine wrote, "If there was a turning point in Nixon's long ordeal in the wilderness, it was at that moment and that gesture of love and compassion." Now, as you know, Jimmy Carter still to this day teaches Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains, Georgia. And I'm not commenting about anything as him as a president, good or bad, but I can tell you this as a person. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. And he saw in the face of Richard Milhouse Nixon the face of Jesus. Because every encounter that we have is the faith of Jesus. What do they need? Are they hurting? What can we do to help? If Jesus came into this room today and asked for anything, we would get up out of our chair, we would walk to him, and we'd say, "Lord, anything that we can do for you, I will give you everything I have." But the face of Jesus on the stranger, what does that look like? Jesus says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. That what we do to the least of these, my brethren, we are doing to Jesus. And this is harsh words. It's extremely harsh words, because at the judgment, we realize there is a judgment day. And we know that Jesus loves us, but that there is this time when he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. But before you beat yourself up too much, there's just one thing I want you to see. And it's in verses 38, 37 through 39. Because Jesus says, "Now the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick in prison and visit you?'" Now, isn't that interesting? The sheep that served Jesus don't even remember serving Jesus. They're like, "When did this happen? We don't remember serving you." They weren't serving Jesus to gain favor with God. They were serving Jesus because it was second nature to who they were. You know, our image of growth in the faith at this church is the image of a tree. And as you grow, as your roots get bigger, as you get larger, you begin to be more like Jesus. You begin to see the world around you as just a whole bunch of faces of Jesus. And you serve. And you do it so much that it becomes second nature to who you are. Because when you serve and you realize that that's what God's called you to do, it's almost like it's contagious. It's like, "I want to serve him some more. I want to serve him some more." And he draws you into a life of service. And your roots get bigger and your faith gets stronger. And you're willing to give up so much of yourself for the world around you because of the joy that it brings you. And you do it so much that when you get to the end of time and you see your Savior is going to say, "Thank you for doing this and this and this and this and this." And you're like, "Man, I forgot I'd even done those things. Because I knew that you loved me. Because I knew that I was in a relationship with you, not because of the things that I did, but because of the thing that you did for me. You saved me from a life of self-centeredness into a life of serving the world around me. And Lord, I just want to take this moment now to thank you for giving me that opportunity." It's my prayer for this congregation that we are so in love with acts of service that we can't help but love the stranger. That we would be so overwhelmed with the grace of Jesus that we show grace in every step for every person that comes through that door. That no stranger would ever visit our church and sit in the corner by themselves waiting, but that we would all go over and shake their hand and say, "Hey, welcome, welcome home." It is my prayer that when we see Jesus on Judgment Day, that he separates the sheep, and he will say to us, "Gladly, We will say to him gladly, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to use everything that I have for your service. People thought I was crazy, but serving you has been the biggest joy of my life that I have ever known. Yeah, there were times it was painful and difficult and even cost a considerable amount of time or money, but I did it and it brought me joy because every time I did an act of service, I saw your face. I am so grateful for all the times that people have served me, and I'm grateful for the Beverland family that stepped up and helped my family in time of need. They made it to St. Louis. We fixed the car. We went on with our life. They got into seminary. The hotel that they had to stay in for a month had bed bugs. Mrs. Hook was not happy with me. Do you know anything about bed bugs? You have to throw everything away. We had to start over from scratch. But there were people that came along beside us in that too. They went out of their way to help us in our times of need. May we all, when anybody comes and is in need, be faithful to our King. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, you have called us to show hospitality to this world, whether it be food or clothing, a word, a smile, a handshake, or a hug. Give us the courage and the eyes to see you in every person that we meet. Thank you for the joy of serving you. Thank you for loving us when we get it wrong. And on the last day, may we remember those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Why don't you rise? Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a good day.